first.
Today. So for whatever I'm going to share, you just need to know that you ain't got to use for 6,900 days. 6,209 days I haven't used. So no matter what I share up here, all you need to know is whether the information is good or not good, whether you believe it or not believe it, remember just one little thing that I haven't used for 6,209 days. Just a little tangible evidence of what I'm doing, you understand? I'm just not sticking and staying, I'm serving, you understand? Yeah. I'm from this region, so I'm going to welcome everybody that's not from the Chesapeake region. Welcome to our Narcotics Anonymous right here in the Chesapeake region. You are friends of ours, because there ain't but one program. You just happen to be on a different corner with a different name, but the dope is still the same. So right here in the Chesapeake region, the hope is still the same. No matter what, you ain't got to use no more. So that's all I got. Let me see. Home group is the Firm Believers Group. It's a literature meeting that meets Tuesday night in the Central Maryland area. I will celebrate my 17th year. I would give y'all directions on the tape, but I ain't going to do that to y'all. But my telephone number is 240-645-2255. That's even if you want to pull me up on my information that I'm getting ready to share on your ass, okay? So, this is a little heavy now. And I'm going to point out one more thing before I put this down. This is a white key tag that I got in Narcotics Anonymous April the 17th. It's the same one. I don't give it away, and I don't misplace it. I don't give it away, and I don't misplace it. For some reason, my value system began because I ain't want to give it away or misplace it. I done fucked up everything else in my life, but I ain't misplaced this. So, I ain't getting it to you. I know we get caught up in here and we'll do some stuff, right? Oh, no. Then I'll be sitting around one day and I'll be like, damn, why I get that to her? But 17 years later, you know, what I do want to give her, right, is more tangible than just this material existence here. Because surrender is a pricely cost. Surrender means that from the first 30 days of sitting in a detox with my bowels breaking after every meal, where my lips and my fingers ain't came back yet because I done smoked so much crack. My back hurting from all the peeping and hiding shit. My ass is all raw up because I've been dookieing on myself for the past 5 or 6 days in a row with no toilet paper. I'm walking around with no underwear on. My feet hurt because I got some little short motherfucker shoes on. Plus I weigh 135 pounds and I'm 6'3". My bones is hurting. My shoulder blades is hurting because I've been doing this shit all night. So for 6,209 days, I ain't got to look like that no more. I ain't got to have nightmares from stealing the money out the house no more. I ain't got to have nightmares from robbing my grandparents no more. I ain't got to have nightmares of ruining my brothers and their relationships. I ain't got to have motherfucking nightmares from hurting people no more. I'm clean. I do have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. And I sponsor people. I sponsor addicts. If you have this dilemma where it is a major problem for you in your life, that means if you're black, that means if you're white, if you're gay, that means if you're a damn Muslim or something else other than what I am, we can meet. Yeah. That means because I hated white people before I got here. That means because I hated black people before I got here. That means I hated gay people before I got here. That means I hated fat people before I got here. And because I'm extremely attractive, I hated the rest of them that's in here. Oh, you're going to have to time me because that's... All right, good. There's some hot shit today. You're going to have to cut me off all the way. What's up, Scott? I love you. So it's real simple. Any addict can come here and should be able to feel free in this atmosphere to tell you that I gave my family member the clap and be all right. Any member should be able to come here and tell you that I'm tired of walking the streets day and night just hoping that I get one more. I just don't want to walk no more. Any addict. Can stop shitting on theyself. Walking around with them dried up ass dookie stained white pants on. Huh? With the same socks on for the last month. In some little man's shoes. Can stop. If you tricking, you can stop. If you stealing, you can stop. If you violent, you can stop. Our message is that any addict can lose. Lose mean you can't find it. Lose mean it's not apparent in your visible station in life. To lose something. Ha, ha, ha. And find, that means to gather, to collect, to move towards practicing regularly. Find something. Jeez. What's up, Sharon? You know I'm Sharon. Go on over there. You want me to say his name on the tape? And don't be standing on the wall either. Get over here and find a seat. The fire marshal said, don't stand on the walls. All right? Any Adam can lose the desire and find a new way to live. Very simply, that means that because I was raped by two men and dragged, because I was high, that means because of the rape, the incest, the molestation, the beatings, because of the spiritual and physical abuse that I suffered, I no longer need drugs to hide those items in my life. I no longer need that kind of participation to where I need to just keep giving it to you just because you smile at me. You know what I mean? Because when I hated white people, I like white people now. You good. We're going to do some things. We're going to eat and stuff like that, right? We good. Because when I got here at 28 years old, I had no understanding of what I was getting into. Okay? When they said, make sure you find the power that is loving and caring. See, now that's what I needed. I didn't need nobody up in here, sit down, shut the fuck up, we'll call on you when we want to get high. That didn't work over with me, because I had weapons on me when I got here. You understand? I didn't care about none of y'all anyway. You understand? All I wanted to know was, how am I not going to smoke no crack no more? How can you keep me from sneaking into the room at night like this to get the pocketbook? Take the fuck back out. That's what I need you to keep me from. How I want to sit up and begin to shoot and ain't shit there. So when they tell me that this message will take away the emptiness and the loneliness, that it'll take away that locked up, incarcerated feeling of pain. It'll take it away. I said, well, damn. How I do that? So I got a sponsor. Sponsor say, stand by the door, hug 15 white people. This program says that our higher power will begin to work for us long before you recognize it, long before you call on it, long before you even know it exists. So that means when I was dropped off the side of that ship in the middle of the freezing Atlantic Ocean and dragged back out with no brain damage in my right faculty, huh? That means that with my motor skills still working. That means when they left me in the pool of blood with my feet and hands bound to the furniture, with my ass split, my ribs cracked, my mouth cut. So, all right, anyway.
you get too quiet, I get scared. So, if you want this program to work for you, and you get to the part where it says that the pain will force you to seek something greater. Sometimes you make the wrong way to seek it, but it'll run you to it again. It'll run you back to the same path where you have to go seeking again. Some of us keep making the same bad choices. If he's beating your ass every day, that's a bad choice. Stop. God allows U-turns and mistakes. He'll take you anywhere you can. Try calling somebody for 90 days. When you want to call him, call them. When you want to use, call them. When you want to steal, call them. When you want to trick, call them. When you want to harm somebody, call them. I guarantee you. This is my personal experience. I guarantee you. Because see, what they told me is the power in this program suggests that 90 meetings in 90 days can have a profound effect on your thinking, Paul. Because the disease is centered in your thinking, Paul. It don't walk around with you. It don't get down the block and look for you. He stays right with you. You take him everywhere you go. If you wonder why you're standing in a grocery store and you can't make the decision whether to buy this for your child or this for yourself, it's your disease. Buy it for your child and worry about yourself later. So I got in the program and I said, I'm going to do whatever y'all said do. So that's what I did. I started going to meetings. I got the sponsor. The sponsor started taking me into H&I service work. And what he would tell me is, you just roll with me. And you do exactly as I tell you to do. Okay? Now, the book is not a human being. It is full of guidelines and suggestions. The interpretation with the suggestion becomes an instruction. Did you hear what I said? The interpretation followed by what? The suggestion and the guidelines is an instruction. The instruction is do everything I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. Your ass might stay clean. So that's what I did. He said, come to the jail, meet me here. I went to the jail, I met him there. He said, do this, do that, do that. I did that. He said, read this and call me in the morning. I did that. He said, call me in the afternoon. I did that. He said, I'm going to be sharing at this meeting, and I did that. But before I knew it, guess what I was doing? I was in the program, and I was following the third step. And he said, well, now it's time for you to begin the real work. He said, the inventory is where we're going to close and open some doors and some chapters in your life. We're going to change the way you feel about yourself, and you no longer have to be that funky-ass motherfucker that came up in here feeling like a dirtball, piss-poor zero, and you're going to stop hurting yourself. At some point, you're going to leave them weapons alone. At some point, you're going to stop having them nightmares to where you feel ugly about yourself and you keep doing harmful things to yourself. I said, well, how you do that? He said, stand by the door. Hug 15 black people. There ain't no problem. You know how we doing, N.A. You got to, you know. I don't even hug people that I don't like. Okay? Because I've been violated. Spiritually, it's unhealthy for me to fake like I like it. All right. Okay? This program don't require me to let you make a doormat out of me in the program. What it tells me to do is to associate with you. Okay? If you beat your children, you beat your wife, do you think I'm going to stand there and be all right with you? Yes. But I ain't got to hug you. Because you could be beating a girl that I like. She in the program down, trying to stay clean. You talk about I kicked her ass and she all right with it. Do you think I care about you? Y'all be talking about, well, you shouldn't be going outside your marriage. Okay, well, I've been having sex since I was 5. What else do I know how to do? But they told me, you'll change that, Paul. All you got to do is stay here. Well, let's change it. Just ain't y'all right, mine. Because see, the stuff I want to change may not be what that's changing. Because I could have swore I could be carrying pistols still now, and I ain't had a weapon in 12 years. I ain't hurt nobody or banged nobody up with my hands or physically violated nobody since I've been here. 12 years. That's a hell of a hit for me. So if I sit in Narcotics Anonymous, what's going to change is what my higher power wants to change in. Because when it say, take my will and my life, when you give him the permission, you say, take my will and my life, guide me. You done messed up then. You all the way in there. You done did it then, because then you're going to be trying to figure out why you doing this. Why does Pete have it? You know you don't want to go to that people meeting way over there. You know you don't want to talk to them people this early in the morning or that late at night. You know that when you get there, they're going to be talking about you when you get to the service committee meeting. You know they're talking about you. Always want to run some. But you keep going. Then they're going to tell you how many people are sponsored. This message is hope is real simple. It says, Paul, that the empathy that we need in here tells me that because of the third tradition, I don't know where you come to your bitter end in this process. It says that if you are unhappy with whatever's going on with you in here, you should feel safe to share it in here. I should be able to come in here and tell you all that today I don't feel good because I've been violated this weekend. Because I extended myself and because I'm arrogant and self-centered 17 years ago, I wouldn't have been in this position. Because I know how to handle it. I know how to do that shit. I know how to sit right next to you and don't even speak and dare you to look at me. I know how to do that. But that's not what this program is about. The hope is I'm going to make sure that when I leave here, it leaves here. When I leave here, I'm going to let God do what he do, what he do, what he do, what he do all the time. Because I'm going to share on it. I will share on your ass up here. If you knew in the program, you're supposed to tell how you feel. 12 minutes. Five. Okay. So, what I believe about our message is this. In a local service working guide, it points out some things. It said, Paul, because I personalize our literature. If you want it to be a matter of the heart, you gotta personalize it. You gotta put it on like soap and cologne. Rub it in, massage it in. You gotta be with it. Sometimes it's gonna feel so good. You're just gonna break out. You know how you riding somewhere or somebody say something to you, bust out, start crying. While you're getting high, you start crying. You know damn well you don't want to get high. You know damn well you don't want to hurt them people. But our message is hope. Hope is this. What my shirt say?
Find an inspiration now everywhere.
I like that one. I got another one too. Hope is holding on to positive emotions. So that tells me that because Macon, you was there when I needed you and you let me cry on you every time I see you, I got special gratitude. That means, Carol, because you and Frankie, the lady that gave me the message, was friends, I got a special relationship with you. That means I ain't never going to betray the gratitude of this process because everything that has happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous has never let me down. That means that when I meet you, I'm going to stay and be your friend. That means that I'm going to do a 90 and 90 with you. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to stick out. That means, Garrison, when we sit in the damn prison And then later we come to be friends. Because I never knew I was going to love anyone the way that I love you people in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not even going to be able to tell you what it means to me to have your love in my life. I'm not even going to be able to put it into words how when I have to call you because I feel like somebody hurt me like a little kid and I need you to talk to me or hold me. I'm not going to be able to tell you how good God is. Because he took you off the street and brought you back to this program. And now you are a youth. I'm not going to be able to tell you that when I need because I don't have no my brothers and my father. None of them are my friends. All I have is y'all. All I have is y'all. I can't even begin to tell you, Scott, how to see you with that stick and when you hug me, you ain't scared to hold me. I can't tell you how to, I'm sick of people thinking, well, you, oh yes, I'm not going to use. So I'm real happy about that. Because I have messed up everything in my life. This is the only place left for me. I am not going anywhere. I am not going anywhere. I'm going to keep finding people to love me the way I need to be loved. I'm going to keep finding people to serve with me because I need to serve. I'm going to keep loving because that's the only thing that washes away nightmares. Okay, so my time is up, so look. Stand up, Christine. What's your name? Hi, Cassandra. Me and Cassandra have the same clean date. Shared everything. I no longer hate white people. I no longer hate black people. I no longer hate gay people. I don't feel like an asshole, a pervert, or a murderer. I've changed that. I'm an oozer of love. And I'm walking around trying to ooze on you. I want to be a special work of God in somebody's life. And so I'm a ooze on in the best way I can. I believe that we are indebted to help someone like someone first helped us. See, our message says that nobody has to use no matter what. I'm a part of the no matter what club. My first sponsor left me at 2 years clean. I got another one. No matter what, I ain't going to use. I buried my first child at 3 years. No matter what, I'm not going to use. I got locked up in my fourth year. No matter what, I ain't use. I pulled a pistol on somebody the fifth year. I ain't use. The sixth year, I was trapped in a car, left for dead. I ain't use. My seventh year, I racked the knee. The next year, I racked another knee. The next year, the ninth year, my son was born with 40%. Let me go back. My fourth year also, my second son was on bed. My wife was on bed rest with him for 7 whole months. They said that he wouldn't make it. He's 13. Yes. He had decapitas in his brain and in his hands. All he got is a little scar right there, and he's an honor roll student. My ninth year, my baby, who is 7 years old today, had 40% of his hearing loss. Oh, that means shut up. And on top of that, I ain't used. My 10th year, my mother died. Had sex with a man in the same house that she died in, I ain't used. My 11th year, my dearest friend and my sponsees died. My 12th year, I buried one of the sons of a friend in here who I work with. My 13th year, I was violated in my friendships. My 14th year, I could go on. I'm not going to use no matter what. All right. 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 All right.
Okay, I'm going to introduce the second speaker, and if you are going to leave, please leave quietly, please, if you can. And the second speaker is going to be Carol. Carolyn.
I'm an addict named Carol.
Hey, Carol.
And if you're happy and grateful right now, say yeah.
Yeah.
Hug somebody next to you and tell them this is an awesome motherfucking program.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, every time I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, from day one, I always get more than I bargained for. You know, I'm sure those folks who didn't want to come to this convention, those folks who thought had hesitations, are happy now that they came, especially to this workshop. You know, every time I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was uplifted. You know, and those persons, I want to say congratulations and welcome home. You're home, you're in a safe place. You know, you don't ever have to use again. We love you. When this young lady with 36 months hugged me, I felt her heartbeat. She held me so tight. You know, I felt that. You know, she was glad to be here. She was holding on for dear life.
Yes, yes.
You know, I remember my first white key tank.
That's right.
I don't know whether I still have mine or not. I don't give mine away either. You know, but I remember that was the longest walk I ever had to take to walk up front and say I'm an addict and pick up that white, because that was a demonstration that I was surrendering to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, Paul and I have known each other for about 5 or 6 years, and I saw him in Norfolk, Virginia, at Tacna last week. And he was telling me he was celebrating his anniversary. And I said, well, I'm doing a workshop in Ocean City. He says, I know. Message of hope with me. I said, oh, I got excited. You know, because Paul is that kind of guy that makes you get excited. You know, the first time he introduced himself to me, Permanent Paul, I was inspired. I like that. You know, this Narcotics Anonymous turns me on. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I have passion for this program. This program has, I was a dope fiend, they used to call a fiend. I was a true, true dope fiend. You're talking about the message of hope. You know, people in my area said, if she can stay clean, anybody can stay clean. See, I was one of those addicts when I came from the streets into Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't get an opportunity to go to treatment. They put me out the liquor house that I had turned into a base house, a shooting gallery, and a gambling house. You know, a friend of mine who took me in when I didn't have anywhere else to go. I had come back to the East Coast from the West Coast because I had done all I could do out there, and I was forced by the judge to come back. My youngest son had been taken into foster care, so you know how I was living. They took my child from me. You know, I didn't pick him up from daycare one day, and they came to bring him home, and when they went in my house, of course the door was open, and they saw, you know, a using house. No food in the refrigerator, no electricity, and debris of all kinds of paraphernalia of every kind of user you can think of. I'm a BC addict now, before crack. Thank God. God saved me just in the neck of time.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, I used to see them people on the floor looking out the window, and I saw, but for the grace, there go. I knew I'd be there soon. You know, I was a user. It didn't matter what I used. I didn't hear of drug of choice till I came to knock on Tanam, and I said, what is that? And my friend who was here, who got the message to my mother, said, that's what, you know, just, you don't have one. Don't worry about it. You weren't, you know, I used whatever was on the table. Whatever set I was on, that's what I used. I started using when I was 13 years old. I got drunk off cone liquor. There's stills in my neighborhood. I grew up with pimps, hoes, you know, hardworking people. I grew up in a tobacco neighborhood where people work in the tobacco companies. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. You know, so I smoked very early. I didn't smoke a filter cigarette till I was 25 years old. I smoked Lucky Strikes and Camels most of my life. You know, I grew up on the rough side of the mountain. You know, I was used to pain and suffering. I was used to that kind of thing, you know. I was addicted to pain and suffering in the hard way and my way. You know, I was self-willed from the crib. You know, I didn't have best friends. I wasn't one. I didn't join the clubs, the girls' clubs. I didn't hang out. I was a self-willed addict. So when I came to Narcotics Anonymous and they talked about self-willed run riot, I didn't raise my hand, but I felt at home. I said, damn, they got language up in here talking about me. You know, I was impressed with the literature of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, because I identified with it. I used to live. I skidded in here. You know, I came, my heels were pressed at the door when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I knew I was going to die or spend a long bit in the penitentiary. And then one of my friends said, well, you might become a vegetable and have your mind and can't do nothing with your body. I said, oh, God, that was frightening. Because that's the way I was living, you know. I was a fiend. I was one of those addicts, when they saw me come, they said, oh, my God, here she come. You know, I was one of those addicts that when the dope man saw me, he said, either don't talk to her, either give her the dope or kill her. You know, that's how they felt. They said, don't listen to her, man, because she going to get something out of you. You know, when I went into the dope house, I wanted to see the man with the bag. If you ain't got the dope bag, I ain't going to talk to you. You know, I always had something to sell or give or convince the dope man to do. You know, I had to have it. I was a true fiend, you know. So, I used in and everything to the max. You know, I was to the bitter ends addict. I lived on the edge. I lived dangerously. I was left of dead several times. I spoke in Norfolk, Virginia a couple of weeks ago. There was a young lady in there who had 2 days clean. She had been gagged and beaten, had been handcuffed. And I remember when I was one of those addicts who I never thought my left eye would ever open again. You know, I've been tried with pokers, hot iron pokers between my legs, you know, and things of that nature. You know, I put myself in position to be abused. I was a greedy slime ball. If there was dope, I was going to stay to the bitter ends and take what it took to get it. You know, so when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was trying to breathe. I was tired. They said, welcome home. They gave me a cup of coffee. They stood at the door and hugged me when I came in. You know, they said, it's hope. They said, we heard about you. When I got clean in Richmond, Virginia, there was only 6 black people clean. 4 of them I used with a new. Very well. So, you know, it wasn't about the color of your skin. It wasn't about, you know, white, black, green. Because I was one of those addicts that I used with the Japanese. With your nationality didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't give a damn. If you had the dope bag, I'm going. You know, it didn't matter what kind of, you know, Iranians, Africans, no matter what. I was with some Africans, said, well, you know, Africans, they don't use shit. I've been with them. Okay? I didn't need to know your name. So we don't need to act cute coming up in Narcotics Anonymous. Half the people across this country don't even know my real name. I had all kind of aliases. I had so many aliases that when I used to give the police my name and I get to the lockdown and they call my name, I don't forget which name I don't gave. You know, I had so many different aliases and what have you, you know. The first time I went back to California, where I did a lot of my dirt and using, hard using, was in 1988 at a world convention. I was scared because when I left Oakland, California, I had a lot of warrants, but we went to Santa Ana and I was relieved. But we finally got to go back to, San Diego, not San Diego, outside of Oakland. It wasn't San Antonio. But no, I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, I got a chance to go back into Oakland. I was driving a rental car. I was scared, still scared. You know, this was like about 5 or 6 years later because I was wanted. You know, a lot of horrible things happened to me in Oakland, California, and San Francisco in that area. You know, and in fact, they didn't even know I was from Richmond, Virginia, because I made a mistake one time. I got arrested, and they gave us our own clipboard to fill out our own paperwork, and I put down what my real profession was, you know, which I was a teacher, and I taught at the school, and one of the cops remembered he did the DARE program with me, you know, and they took me by the school when it was, they said, we're going to take her by the school. I told them I was from Richmond, Virginia. That was a mistake. They held me for 2 weeks in the fugitive area lockup. After that, I had already been bailed up, but they said, you ain't going nowhere because you might be a fugitive, you know, because that's, you know, I told the truth. That where I was from. I learned from that time on never to tell them where I was from and what my profession was. You know, because it really didn't matter, you know. But I was one of those addicts who was always backed into a corner, you know. I was greedy. I pushed it to the edge. I'm truly blessed to be alive, you know. And I don't introduce myself as a grateful addict. I try to live like that. You know, I have two sons. One of them is 42 and the other one is 27. And my oldest son has spent the last 20 years of his life in and out of these rooms. He's been locked up across country, you know, numerous of times, most of his life. You know, today he has 7 months clean, you know. And my prayers, you know, so there's hope. You know, there's hope. You know, it's been a really hot, drenching event to watch him suffer the way he's had to suffer. Because, you see, that's why we can't say what the third tradition said, you can lock us up, tie us down, but until we are ready, you know. So the hope is that God works in his time, not mine, you know. But my clean date is October the 27th, 1986. I celebrated my last Halloween, my first Halloween clean. Because I didn't want another horror story, you know. Thank God, that's the way I see it. Because my life was a horror story. It wasn't cute. You know, a lot of times when I used to share early on with the women in Richmond, Virginia, they used to get scared. They said, Carol, don't be telling them folks, don't scare them folks like that. It was real. You know, I had horrible things to happen to me. You know, I started off with the 3-piece suits and the airline tickets transporting dope across country into Mexico and back and forth, but it didn't end up like that, trust me. You know, I was begging on the streets. You know, I was a dope fiend, fiending for in and everything, you know. I lost my jobs. I didn't get fired. I found a way to leave out of my job. I was not a functional addict. You know, I could not work and do things to be a mother, a wife, or any of those things. I lost my self-respect and everything else. Told me I was a great candidate for Knock Ice and Amas. They said, let God work with you, you know. I got positive inspiration when I came to Knock Ice and Amas. I got the kinds of things, the love and the hugs that you people got today in these rooms, you know. That's going to be uplifting, you know. Anytime you come to a convention to get this kind of pump up, hey, that's the kind of stuff that can keep you clean. Hold on to it.
Right.
You know, I can remember when I picked up my purse, I thought 1,000 people was in the room. I felt like I was walking on water. They clapped so hard when I picked up a white key tag.
Yeah.
You know, and then they used to be on me. You know, I used to say, y'all must was bored before I got here because they was always asking me questions. I had to get me involved in service. I went to my first area service 1 week clean. And I'm still in area service.
Right.
I've been in every position there is to be in an area, from treasurer, secretary, vice chair, RCM, GSR. You know, I just finished up a GSR now. I'm a vice chair in my area. And I have people in my area say, you got 20 years clean. You still come? Yes.
Yes.
I got the same
yes.
disease. You don't owe me nothing for coming.
Yes.
Don't nobody owe me a damn thing for coming to get my recovery. I'm responsible for it. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too far one of those. I ain't going nowhere.
Ain't
they call me
nowhere.
Miss N.A. And, you know, I don't went home crying a many nights, but I ain't never said I won't coming back, I tell you that. You know, because you see, I was taught in Narcotics Anonymous that we can get through anything. You know, and I don't give people power. You know, I know who got me into Narcotics Anonymous. It was God. He's got the power. You know, I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations. I've had lots of death in my family. My mother and I was a hard-headed runaway kid. You know, I was a teenage bride. You know, I did my life the way I wanted to do. I took my mother through a lot of pain and suffering. My father died when I was 8 years old, and I blame God for it. You know, I spent a lot of time healing from that process. And most of it happened since I did done step work. You know, but I gave my mother hell. I punished her. You know, because I was his little girl, you know. And I thought when my father died that my mother was punishing me because she was hard on me, real strict and everything. And I ran away a lot. You know, I had guys in the house. I took over. At 13, I made an announcement. I'm smoking up in here. Ain't nothing nobody can do about it. You know, I did things like that. I demanded a certain amount of money to go shopping and things of that nature. And my sister was reminding me at a family dinner we had that she suffered a lot because of the way I lived and the way I ran it, you know. But she's healing also, you know. She has forgiven me. She still got some resentments. She said, I ain't out of the woods yet, and I'm all right with that. You know, because I love her, you know. I did what I did. I lived the life I lived. God brought me up all, and I said, thank you. And I try to act and to act like I'm grateful. You know, I do the things. My children have not had to suffer since I've been clean. I've been available for them, you know, financially, spiritually, time-wise. I give them, my youngest son is now back, in, which who has given me, he had taken me to hell and back 3 times. Because he was part of a gang. His life was on the line. He did everything he could, you know, to go to do a long bit in the penitentiary. He was hard-headed. He lived very dangerously. And I prayed. They said, the more I pray, the less I hurt, you know. And I told him, I promised God, please, let him get through high school. Let him graduate. You know, he graduated, you know. He has done a 360 in his life today. You know, he lives with me. He asked me to come stay with me for 6 months. And I told him that was a little bit too long. But he said, Mom, we need this. You know, and I thought about this. And I've made lots of amends. Because, you know, I started dating. I've gotten divorced since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous. And I have a fiancé. And we started dating. Whenever I prepared a meal, he would invite my son down. Because at the time he was living. I said, look, it ain't no requirement. He just gets a cot and a place to stay. If I don't ever feed him again, I'm all right with it. He was 21 years old. Because, you know, he was 6 years old when I got clean, and he ate good. Now, prior to that time, he did not. But I'm not responsible for what I didn't do. They told me that. I learned that by doing my step work. You know, they told me that this program offers hope for any area of my life.
That's right.
Any area of my life, you know. We have overcome AIDS and everything in this program. It doesn't matter. You don't have to let nothing hold you up today. Cancer, AIDS, anything, you know. We got these tools of this program will take us through, you know. I bought my little book. See, it fits in my pocket. See, Narcotics Anonymous is constantly improving. We can take a basic text and drop it in a little jacket like this. You know, I love it. I love it. See, I'm intrigued. They got it in How It Works and Just for Today, too. You know, for the newcomer, I like to read chapter 5. I tell them all, what can I do? See, we don't ever have to wonder what to do in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, this program is already written for us, and we don't have to change it, whip it up, do it any kind of way. You know, on page, 55 and 52. Let me get it. Let me find it. Okay, I thought I hit him off. Okay. For the newcomer. Okay. I thought I had 52. I'm going too far. Okay, so. All right, I'm on the wrong page. Okay, I'm going to get there. Another tool for the newcomer is involvement with the fellowship. As we become involved, we learn to keep the program first and take it easy in other matters. We begin by asking for help and trying out the recommendations of people at the meetings. It is beneficial to allow others in the group to help us. In time, we will be able to pass on what we have been given. We learn that service to others will get us out of ourselves. Our work can begin simple actions, emptying ashtrays, making coffee, cleaning up, setting up for a meeting, opening the door, chairing a meeting, and passing out literature. Doing these things will help us feel a part of the fellowship. I hear so many addicts come in and say, I don't feel a part of. Read chapter 5. I tell all newcomers, get a basic text as soon as possible. At most anniversaries, you go to people who are giving away books. Home group members will put up and buy an addict a book. You know, I know when they're asking this, Carol, you got a job? I was fortunate to have a job when I got clean. They said, you need some tools to work with. Now, I was accustomed to tools. When I used, I had tools. You know, I kept pipes, screens, matches. All that stuff. I kept plenty of stuff to be able to ready. Wherever any dope came down the pike, I was ready to use it any way you want. Smoke it, shoot it, whatever way you want to use it. You know, so they told me to flip it. Right. Use some new tools today. You know, do something different in my life today. I had to change. You know, I was one of those scheming addicts who always wanted something for nothing, who always tried to get over. You know, I could have spent a lot of time in the penitentiary. It just so happened that it didn't happen like that. And I thank God every day for it. You know, not that I was smarter than or slicker than. It was God's grace and mercy that kept me from going. You know, I've got locked up many times, but I didn't have to do any long bits. The first time I went to Goshen to speak, 85% of the population were people I knew personally. You know, it was like a reunion. You know, but I had an opportunity to come on up out of there, you know. Thank God, you know. But I gave them a lot of hope because they knew who I was when I went up in there. They said, damn, Carol clean. My God. You know, if that slimy dope thing can get clean, anybody can do this program. You know, and in the 12th step, it tells us that our message is hope. You know, that you can get through anything in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm also a member of the No Matter What group. I've lived the No Matter What group. I've had many things to happen to me. I've had many disappointments. You know, I've had financial issues. I've had job issues. I retired a couple of years ago. You know, now I'm back working a little bit again. Because they pull you in, you know, and I can use the money because I'm scratching tickets and playing the lottery, you know. So God gives me another opportunity not to empty my bank account. Because, you see, I went to a meeting not too long ago, and I just bought some scratch tickets. And I said, damn, I spent too much money. And this guy shared that he was spending $1,000 a month on scratch tickets, and when his bills came in, he couldn't pay them. I said, but for the grace, there go me. I could be there in any minute now. Because, see, I know that when I come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm in one of three places. I'm where you've been, could be where you are, or right where you're at right now. Okay? So I don't exempt myself from being nowhere in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, this program works in all areas of our life. You know, they got this little cute little saying there, I wish I could live this program as good as I could talk it. But who asked you to talk it? Live it. You got to live it. We live these principles. We don't have to talk. You know, it's not what I say. It's what I do and how I live. Can you take your program on the road? Take your show on the road. That means wherever you go, in all our affairs, you know. We don't have to impress nobody in Narcotics Anonymous. This is the one place I can come and be me. You know, I had to take off the mask. You know, I was a fake and a frog when I got here. People did not know who I was. They said, Carl, we don't live like that no more. I was a user. You know, I used people, places, and things to my benefit. What am I going to get out of it? You know, when they said, Carl, take them people back home. My first day going to a meeting, I had a car. They said, oh, God sent you to us. You got a license. Yeah. You can be of service to us right now.
Right now.
Right now. I said, what the hell? Yeah. What y'all been doing? Told me to take the people home to the treatment center. They said, because you got a license in the car, we got some more work for you to do. They said, yeah, God got you here just in the neck of time. And today I believe that I'm satisfied today with the way God is running my life. And my arms always been too short to box anyway, you know. I don't fight. I've suffered enough. I don't have to suffer anymore. You know, my suffering is self-inflicted. You know, anything they told me, Carol, 99% of whatever happened to you today is because you let it happen. Uh-oh. You know, you ain't no natural disaster. You know, they explained to me what the tornadoes and hurricanes are natural disasters. Right. Everything else, I generated. I put myself in that place. How did I get here in the first place? He did this, she did that, they, them, those. You know, it begins and ends with me. You know, I must take responsibility. They told me to get a backbone through the steps. Step work made you sit up straight and take a deep breath and deal. You know, I was a chump. I used in and everything, people, places, and things, because I didn't want to deal with life on life terms, you know. It was always a problem. Everybody was a problem but me, you know. But I realized that I was my worst enemy. I took my own self through my pain and suffering and misery. You know, that pain's going to come. Discomfort is going to come. Loneliness is going to come. People going to die. You're going to get sick. I've survived menopause. I'm 60 years old. You know, I'm on the downstroke. I still got some high flags, but I'm on the downstroke, baby. We can survive menopause up in here. It's an inside job. I don't have to go crazy and want to kill everybody. You know. See what I'm saying? You know. But hey, because I can work on me. Everything that's going on with me is treatable today. There's a solution for all my problems. You know, and I've learned that in Narcotics Anonymous, that I can deal with people dying, people leaving, and there are lots of examples in these rooms. Everything that I've ever been through or thought about going through, somebody's already experienced it. All I need to do is change the questions. How did you get through? You know, I don't need to keep coming to hold a meeting. Hearts is talking about, I need to share because I ain't been to a meeting in 6 months. But sit your ass down and listen. We've been coming. I don't need to disrespect Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't got no gratitude today. I need to share where I am. Well, no, you need to listen. You know, it's about the guidance, you know. I share with people. I don't know what sponsors are sharing with folks in these rooms, but it's our responsibility to carry a message of hope and guidance to people, you know, that we don't have to go in and disrespect Narcotics Anonymous. If you ain't working those steps and you ain't got no love for nobody, sit down until you get some. We carry a message of hope. We carry our experience, strength, and hope. If you ain't did it, ain't been there, and don't know about it, why am I talking? See, I don't have to impress nobody in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I will show up and you will see me. Everybody in here is a potential service worker of some sort. We get ready to get ready. Everything that goes on in Narcotics Anonymous is my business. I need to know about all the handbooks. I need to be reading. Getting ready to get ready to get in position because one day I'm going to have to serve. You know, that's how I see it. You know, there ain't no special positions for nobody up in here. You know, there ain't enough open for those with degrees, those with this, those with that. They're willing people. To keep this is a program for addicts by addicts. Addicts doing things to keep it going. We keep this program going. You know, so if you're not doing service work, ask yourself why and your sponsor. You know, I don't send people to meetings. I go to meetings. I don't share nothing with nobody that I ain't experienced or that I have known nobody else to experience. You know, I don't tell you to read the literature and I don't read it. You know, I work steps with my sponsees. You know, I believe in tabletop recovery. You know, I believe in going on the inside and probing. I believe in using this program. You know, we got people in these rooms who talk about certain literature. They don't like the new step working guy. Because it won't hear when they got here. And, but be glad that shit in there is less work for your ass. You know, it really is. It helps us. The 12th step talks about the steps lead us to an awakening of the spirit. This awakening is evident by change in our lives. These changes make us better able to live in spiritual principles and to carry the message of hope, to carry the message of recovery and hope to the addict who still suffers. Our message is hope, folks. You know, and it talks about that on page 51. Yes, we are a vision of hope. We're examples of the program working. The joy that we have in living clean is an attraction to the addict who still suffers. We do recover to live clean and happy lives. Welcome to NA. The steps do not end here. The steps are a new beginning. The hope comes from the steps. Because, I often share with people, once you start doing step work, your hugs are different and your sharing becomes different.
Yeah.
You know, once you get past the fourth step, you're less to judge somebody else once you don't open up your Pandora's box and start looking at you. And the hugs are a little bit different, too. You want to do more service work, you know. If you think I'm lying, check them out. We know when folks are stepping. You know, we know when folks in your sharing. You don't have to come and teach us the steps. You share your sharing exemplifies that you done did some work on yourself. You know, we know when you start sponsoring somebody, you know, people will lighten you up again. You know, oftentimes, the other day I was getting ready to go to a meeting. I thought I should be going to this meeting. And they called me and they said, Kyle, we're getting ready to do the audit. You know, today is the audit for the books. You know, I said, okay, this is so. And you bring A, B, and C and go pick up so-and-so. I knew that was God's will. See, it ain't hard to figure out God's will today. It's no different. They told me anything I think I ought to do, do the opposite. Anybody could run my life better than I could. You know, and, you know, just look at my track record. You know, it's important to do step work. You know, it's important. We're in a 12-step program. You know, that's where the message of hope comes from and practicing these principles into action. Because situations are going to come up in life. You're going to get opportunity after opportunity to practice this program. You ain't got to worry about how you're going to do it. What is God's will for me? Just stay clean and show up and be available. Get ready to get ready because he's going to posture you. Let God run your life. You know, that has happened for me in my life. You know, my children want to be around me. They want to live with me. They call me. My family is inspired by the way that I live. You know, they didn't understand it at first. They said, they used to mimic me. They said, watch, you said, tell all them she love them. Tell all her business. You know, and everything. They didn't understand this program, but they have never not discouraged me from coming. Trust me. You know, they said, what convention you going to this year, Kyle? I said, I'm going to San Antonio, Texas. You know, my family was taking a family trip to Costa Rica. And I said, well, I'm going to, and they made me commit to go this year. And I said, I would go. But I told them I'm going to San Antonio, Texas, too. You know, God's willing, I'm going to be there. You know, I've been able to, a convention turns me on. It's inspiring to see. They told me that this was a worldwide fellowship. When they told me they were, in 1986, that they had just come back from London, yeah. And the guy shared how it works in Japanese style. I said, the way it take me to your leader. I got to go. I was able to go to my first world convention in New Orleans. And I remember the first Dutch was the Saturday night speaker, man. You know, I was inspired. I was running around there like a wild woman. I was just so happy to be, that where's the guy going to say, hey, I was in Japanese. I want to hear. Bring it on. You know, this program is inspirational. You know, to meet people that are doing the same thing in Switzerland, down under in Australia, Africa, Japan, Iraq. You heard about the meeting they took to Iraq. They only expected 200 people, and 400-some people came to Iraq. Read your literature. Get on the internet. You know, we didn't got to do pornography and send all them new pictures through the damn internet. We can read. It ain't that all. Okay? You know, there are lots of other things to do on the internet that are positive today, you know. Hey, there's hope in this fellowship. Get with the program. I tell anybody. You know, grateful addicts don't use. And it's about the way we live our lives and the way we participate and do service in our kind, synonymous, that exemplifies and get the respect. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks.